Brian, he's like, you walk into a bar, any bar in Knoxville.
Playing.
You walk in, boom, Mo Bamba. You go up to the bar, you get a beer. 5 minutes later, you drink like half of that beer. Boom, Mo Bamba. You finish that beer, you go to the bathroom, you go back to the bar to get another beer. Boom, Mo Bamba. It's Mo Bamba, Mo Bamba, and Mo Bamba.
What's that song called again?
Mo Bamba.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to hour two of Overtime. I'm with some goats, man. I'm not talking bah, but I'm talking real live greatest of all times. But I got Justin Feist in the producer's perch alongside with the one, the only, Cam Black.
I'm just trying to keep up with y'all, man.
Man, don't be like me. Be better than me, man. Be better than me, man. I am very excited to have you two in here for the last hour of Overtime. Before we jump into it, the Next Door Home Group hotline is officially open, 865-546-8200. Make sure you give us a call, man. We would love to talk to you, weigh on in some things that we have talked about here in hour one as well as hour two. Before we get into the big boys, NFL football, man, I know Tanner Carson, you're wondering where his sweet silky voice is. He is actually on the ground tonight covering high school football in Seymour. So we're looking forward to get him back on Monday. But I just got tweeted out if we're going to cover some high school football tonight. And I do know that we do have the Battle of Undefeateds tonight in town, talking West versus Powell. You know, I used to stay out in Powell, man.
Really?
Okay. I stayed out in Powell, moved about a year ago. I like Powell. It's a nice little community.
Yeah,
I lived by Wild Wing Cafe. So it was pretty cool. You could tell I lost a little weight because I was at Wild Wing too much, man. But give me those Powell Panthers over West tonight, man. I think they get the running game going, get it established as well. And we also have Halls versus South Doyle. You guys big into high school football here in Tennessee. I know all of us are not from here, but Justin more so, you are from here.
Yes. What was the matchup?
It was Halls and South Doyle, man.
I honestly don't know anything about high school football this year. It's kind of one of those things you sort of stop paying attention once you're a high schooler.
I know that South Doyle got cheated out by Seymour a couple of weeks ago
because
Tanner was covering that game.
I think that was like their only win of the year. So
yeah.
I guess I'll take Halls, I guess. I don't know.
I know I got a lot of people that are going to say, you know, Powell and Halls, you can't root for both. So with that being said, give me South Doyle, man. Give me South Doyle. I got some good folks.
I'm picking this one, man. I haven't kept up with Tennessee football in a minute.
What's the line? We got a line on this one.
Hey, man, we can't bet on high school football.
Is that TSSAA violation?
Y'all going to have us arrested, man. They know about it. Mr. Harris.
You just ratted on yourself, man.
Open up.
Hey, y'all want to call in and place your bets? Let's go.
Hey, come on, man. Y'all are crazy. With that being said, this segment is going to be sponsored by MyBookie as well, because we are talking about some major, major games. We're about at the one-third point of the season for the NFL. And with that being said, let's start off locally, man. We got the LA Chargers, who have kind of been reeling lately, man, not playing their best ball, taking on the hometown Tennessee Titans in Ryan Tannehill's first start, not being in a Miami Dolphins jersey. How we feeling?
I'm actually I was a big proponent of Tannehill. Pickup was huge for the Titans because I was like, Mariota was pretty likely to get injured. Didn't think he straight up get benched, but hey, I think Tannehill was the best backup in the league, of course, and I think he was severely underrated from his time at the Dolphins. He just was on the Dolphins, and not much he could do there. But I think Tannehill will give him a little injection, kind of the same way that Maurer has done the Vols here in town, and I think it will kind of pick the offense up a little, and they still have that dominant defense, so I think this could be a big win for them, and it's definitely that point of the season where they need it. And the Chargers, man, they're looking rough.
And
like, if you're thinking about the Chiefs and the Mahomes injury, like, this is the Chargers' kind of like little window. This is giving them a tad bit of hope. But like, as a Chiefs fan, you're probably like, man, I'm glad the Chargers are just crapping the bed this year. It's insane.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Justin, how are you feeling? Obviously, I know we talked to Lucas Panzeca earlier in the week, and he sounded battle and bruised, man. He didn't sound good.
Yeah, I think he predicted a Chargers win. I don't think he thinks the Titans are going to get it right. you know, he was saying that, you know, the Titans got a lot of things wrong with them. It wasn't just the quarterback situation. So, you know, Tannehill might come out and have a decent day, but all their, you know, their defensive struggles and their offensive line problems are still going to be there no matter who's at the quarterback position.
Facts.
I agree with him. Right now I'm seeing Chargers favored by 2 points, I'm seeing Titans favored by 2 points, but I'm gonna go with the Chargers in this situation. I think Phillip Rivers is going to have a get-right game, going to be able to get the ball to Austin Eckler, and then, you know, they got Melvin Gordon coming back now. I think they're going to punch some holes in that Titans defense, and, you know, I'm not expecting a, you know, world-beating game out of Ryan Tannehill out the gate, so I'm going to take the Chargers.
I'm going to take the Titans on this one, man, and I'm going to tell you why. I just do not think the Chargers are healthy right now. I don't know what it is, but I think this is the beginning of the end of the Keenan Allen reign in Los Angeles. You saw me. I correct.
You got
I didn't
it, you
say.
Got it, you got it.
I didn't say San Diego. No, but I have the Titans by 10 because I think this defense is one of the best in football. When you shut down Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and company, I mean, they shut Atlanta completely down, and I saw it live. I just think the offensive line has to get right. But I will say that Ryan Tannehill has more time. He will make the throws if he has more time.
Absolutely.
So let's go off. Are you Titans or Chargers?
I said Titans. I think Titans defense will get it done.
Okay. Okay. I had to Tannehill. Put you on a record
I like
now.
Tannehill. I like Tannehill.
Okay. Let's go to an NFC North division battle, man. We have Minnesota taking on the Detroit Lions in Detroit, man. How are we feeling about this one?
It's gonna be interesting to see if Minnesota can keep it going from last week with their offensive explosion, but I don't have big faith in that. Detroit's defense is pretty good, and I just don't trust Kirk Cousins. Like, this would be the kind of game where he would have a downer. It's just, he's up and down, and it's just the way he goes against good teams. He doesn't seem to get it done, and so I think the Lions will get that much-needed win because they've been kind of getting behind the eight ball on some stuff, but I think they're a good team just with a bad record, and I think they'll finally get a good win here, huge for the division.
Give me bad Kirk Cousins this week. I think he is going to have a nice 15 for 22, 165 yards. 90 of them are going to go to Adam Thielen for my fantasy team, I hope. And give me Detroit big. I think their defense is playing lights out. Matt Stafford, again, has a 300-yard game.
Oh, yeah. He's been playing well.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Lions as well. I was sitting Stephon Diggs last week when he exploded naturally, so.
You sitting him again this week, man?
Dude, I have to start him. I got nobody. I guess I could technically sit him now that Amari's.
But is Amari? We'll talk about that later.
It's a tough call, but Kirk Cousins is he got his one good performance of the year. You know, that allowed him to think he's earning his money up there. So I fully expect him to come crashing down. If you got Kirk Cousins stock, sell it now because I think it's going to be at about 1 penny per share on Sunday evening. So I'm going to go with the Lions in this one, unfortunately, but hopefully I'm wrong and he has another career day throwing a Stephon Diggs because I need that, Kirk. I need it real bad.
Man, facts. Let's get into Oakland at Green Bay, man. Who is Aaron Rodgers going to throw to?
Man, we don't even know yet. So, yeah, Adams has already been ruled out, and then his two other top guys are in concussion protocol, and they're a toss-up. They're going to be borderline a game-time decision. So, and I think Jimmy Graham's banged up, too. So
yeah.
Sounds like Lazard, however you say his name. That guy, that's all he's going to be throwing to. So, I don't know if they'll, Oakland coming off a bye. Oakland's been a surprising team.
Mm-hmm.
They may get the upset here with no receivers. I think they'll have a shot. They'll have a shot for sure.
I'm with you, man. I know Tanner Carson, he's a lifelong Oakland Raiders fan. He's going to be proud because I'm taking Oakland in the upset. Green Bay is – they're in trouble, man. I mean, they don't have anybody to throw the ball to.
It's going to be Aaron Jones dump downs all day.
Yeah, that's all it's going to be. If you have Aaron Jones, boy, you better start him.
Yep.
Yeah, the Packers need Aaron Jones to show up big to have a chance here. Every wideout is injured for the Packers. If there is a game that, what's his name? John Gruden's Raiders have been, you know, kind of surging back into relevancy this year. I think if there's a statement game, this is going to be the game. It's only a 4.5-point spread.
Okay.
So I'm thinking Raiders can get it done here. It's in Green Bay, isn't it?
Yep, it is in Green Bay, man. I know, it's like Aaron Jones feel foolish.
Aaron Jones needs to have a career day for the Packers to get this one done. And obviously it can happen, but the Packers just have absolutely no weapons. So I'm going to go upset Raiders.
Okay, let's shift over to Arizona at the G-Men of New York, man. We have a rookie battle on our hands.
Oh, yeah, battle of the young QBs. And this is the first time we get to see Daniel Jones and Saquon on the same field. So that's kind of exciting, especially against that Arizona defense. They both have weak defenses. This could be a big, fun shootout between the young quarterbacks. Yeah, he's getting Ingram back this week, too. So Daniel Jones is going to have some weapons. We all know Kyler can run around a bit and, you know, be exciting to watch. I'm not even sure who to take in this game. I think I'm going to give the edge to the Giants because they're at home and Barkley being back.
Yeah.
But I think this will be a fun game to watch. Just one of those may not matter in the grand scheme of things, but it's entertaining football.
Oh, man.
Justin, what are you thinking, man?
Yeah, so I think Kyler Murray is probably going to have another decent day. He's been performing well lately, but like Cam said, you know, Daniel Jones finally has some weapons back. Last week, his only, you know, good option was Golden Tate, but now he's got Evan Ingram and Saquon back. And I think the Giants are going to be finally somewhat comfortable in their own offensive skin, and I think they're going to be able to get the win.
Man, I am with you, man. I saw last week just in person that Arizona defense is not good. I mean, they allowed a lot of yards. So with that being said, I'm going G-men by two TDs, but it's going to be a shootout. I'm thinking like a 49-35. I mean, it's going to be a shootout.
I'm gonna find an over-under.
Over-under is 51. So.
Oh, take the over, man. Yeah. Take the over for sure. I would go into these games, but we need to take a quick commercial break. So we will pick more games. Got four more left on tap right after this break. Y'all stay tuned. Welcome back to Overtime, ladies and gentlemen, man. I'm with two goofy gentlemen. Y'all are just so goofy, man. I'm telling you what. Let's just get back into Pick'em. Before we left, man, we were picking a couple games. The last game that we chose was Arizona at the New York Giants. Let's take a look at four of the following games, man. Let's go first. Baltimore at Seattle. You have the battle of the dual threat QBs. I'm talking about Lamar Jackson at Russell Wilson. What are we thinking?
I think it's going to be – I'm not sure if it's going to be high scoring, but I think they both can score here. But they're both ball control offenses, so I think that will keep the score down. But I do not think the Ravens – it's not the Ravens' defense of old, and I don't think they have enough to slow down Russell Wilson now. His man's been playing out of his mind this season. So I think it'll be a pretty fun game, pretty close game, but I don't think the Ravens will get enough stops to keep Russell from getting a win there.
Okay. Give me – I have the option of choosing either Lamar or Russ to start in this fantasy league that I'm in for overtime. I'm going Russ because he's had an MVP-type season, but I know Lamar is going to go off. I feel it in my heart and soul, but give me the Seahawks, man. I think they roll by three.
Well, that's what the spread is, three-point spread. So.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Russell Wilson is going to have another good performance. He has been performing well all season. I mean, I know Lamar has too, but like Cam was saying, that Baltimore Raven defense is not what it used to be. I mean, they'll be able to stop him somewhat. He might not be able to, you know, run, you know, quite as much as, you know, he does sometimes. There might not be, you know, those rushing touchdowns you see from Russell Wilson, but I think he's going to, you know, do well. He's going to get completions to his guys. Now, Seahawks don't have I forget who their starting tight end was, but they're back
Disley.
With
Disley.
Yeah, Disley's out, so they're back with Luke Wilson, who was on the Raiders, dropped in the preseason.
He's got some good hair, man.
Yeah, he's got flow.
He's fast too. He got for flow. A tight end. He's a matchup problem.
He was a star on Hard Knocks, and you know he's in at tight end. So I think Russ is going to be able to roll, and I think the Seahawks will get it done.
Okay. All right. So we're kind of on the same page. Let's talk, man. New Orleans, those Saints.
Ugh.
I know, man. They're going to be at Chicago. Now, let me ask you guys something. I know Alvin Kamara is out, officially ruled out with an ankle, as well as what?
Jared Cook, I think, is also out as well.
Jared Cook is out as well. So they're a little undermanned. Does Teddy Bridgewater stay undefeated, man?
I'm going no. I think it's going to be a defensive battle. Hammer the under on this one. I it's going to be tough to find points because these two defenses have been great all year. But, yeah, with Kamara being out, Murray's a good back, but he's not the same player. He's not as much as that dual threat, receiving, running threat that they kind of need. It's really just Michael Thomas left on offense. So, yeah. I think the Bears have a really good defense. They'll take it away. Gosh. Maybe he'll throw up one of those playoff performances he likes. Those 4-for-37s. But the Bears will lock him down with that pass rush, too. And, yeah, defensive battle. I think the Bears will get it done. Trubisky, I think, is back this week. So, I think they'll have just enough to get the win.
I am such a Mitch supporter. I really am, man. But I support this defense even more, man. I honestly think they're going to come to play, and they're going to confuse Teddy from the jump. Give me Bears by a touchdown. I'm going Bears.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bears as well. I think their defense is going to be a little bit too much for Teddy, but if the Saints find a way to win, then they're a wagon to deal with, because they found a way to pretty much win almost all their games with Drew Brees being out, so they're going to be tough to stop once he gets back. What's his projection to come back?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be back Falcons in about week 10, so yeah, when the Falcons...
Bye, November 10th, I think, was the date, if I remember correctly, but, give or take a week, he may be somewhere around there.
I believe he's already starting to kind of throw.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll take the Bears, but it wouldn't surprise me if Bridgewater continues to do what he has done, because... I mean, he's been very well in Drew Brees' absence.
Teddy has been lights out, man.
Speaking of QBs back at practice, I think I heard Nick Foles is getting back to practice.
Your boy, man.
Yeah, man.
Ah, that's fantastic. I mean,
that kind of takes
some pressure. He'll be back next week, my bad. But, yeah, he'll be coming back.
Yeah, that takes a little pressure off of the Jags management, because they had a quarterback controversy kind of brewing, but then Minshew kind of didn't pan out to be as electric. He didn't hold his status as, being – the crazy electric like he was, so I think they'll be comfortable putting Foles back in the start.
That's what happens when you get film, man. That's what happens. And speaking of, let's – all right, Cam, the moment is here, man. This is the reason I kind of wanted you on the show today. Obviously, I wanted you for other purposes because you're that guy, but this moment right here, right now, we got the L.A. Rams, newly acquired all-pro cornerback Jalen Ramsey is questionable, man. So he might play, he might not. I think he's going to play.
I think they said they're going to play him and Gurley. I think they're both going to play this week. yeah, I think that's what I saw. Let me double-check on the article. But, yeah, either way, it's going to be an interesting game. I think it's going to be a shootout. It's a must-win for almost both teams, pretty much.
Yeah.
Rams have been sliding. Falcons, of course, have been sliding. And, yeah, it's gonna be a big day for the offenses, I think. Trufant's out for the Falcons again. So they're down a corner. Rams are getting a good corner. It's going to be tough. Put some pressure on, Julio out there, but must win for the Falcons, man. I'm going to give it to them. I want them to get this one. I think if they have any shot at getting their season right, this is going to be the one that has to start it off.
Listen, man, I know it's – you speak good into existence, good comes to you. That's what they say, right? The L.A. Rams are about to beat the Falcons by 3 touchdowns. And if you need fantasy help at quarterback, get Jared Goff. Yep.
And play all his receivers.
And play all – I mean, if you want – to win your fantasy league, trade the farm right now for Cooper Kupp, because my man might have 200 on Sunday. It's just what it is. This is where we are as a team, and you're going to see a lot of trades. I'm hearing that Mohamed Sanu is on the trade block, potentially Green Bay as a destination.
Receivers.
So give me L.A. big.
Yeah, I'm going to go with L.A. as well. I hate to pick against y'all's Falcons, but I think the Rams need this one. Excuse me. I think the Rams need this one a little bit more than the Falcons are going to be able to want this one. I know they need it as well, but I think, like Malcolm was saying, I think Jared Goff's going to have himself a good day. Sean McVay can't be happy with the team's performance as of late, and I think they're going to hurt the Falcons.
Could be Dan Quinn. This one could be.
Yeah, man. Could be Dan Quinn. Final game. Lay him to rest.
Get him out of there.
It may be the bye week in a couple weeks, but yeah, he's buying the coffin as we speak.
Oh, man. Let's go to the game of the week, in my opinion. Two teams that desperately need this win as well. Let's go Justin's Philadelphia Eagles taking on Dallas in Jerry World. Justin, I'm going to kick it off with you, man. What are the keys of this game in order for Philly to come out with the dub?
Carson Wentz has to actually play well for the first time in a couple weeks. He's not been terrible, but he's, you know, not been a quarterback that can get them to the Super Bowl. And I know that's not really necessarily in the conversation right now with the way that they've been playing. They have a depleted secondary, which is not going to be fun to see if Amari Cooper does in fact play. FYI, anybody that's got Amari Cooper in their fantasy bench right now, because he was supposed to not play, he's supposedly starting now. He will be playing on Sunday, so make sure you put him back in the lineup, barring any injuries and, you know, warm-ups or anything like that. But that is a scary matchup because the Eagles' secondary has been absolutely atrocious this season. DeSean Jackson is still out for us on offense.
He's been out for the longest time.
I mean, we've had decent, you know, production out of Alshon Jeffrey, but other than that, it's been kind of minimal. So
is Nelson Dropulo? I mean, Aguilar, is he?
Yeah,
is he playing?
He caught a pass last week. I saw that. He's kind of wide receiver too at this point, I guess. Darren Sproles is still out, so they're leaning on Sanders and Howard at running back. Last week Howard wasn't very impressive. He got carries, but he could never punch one in. I think this game's going to rest on, you know, our secondary, hopefully locking up an Amari Cooper that is not 100% healthy, and also Carson Wentz, you know, having a good completion percentage and throwing the ball well, seeing the field.
Okay, man.
But 2.5-point spread in favor of the Cowboys, but homer, so I'm going to take the Eagles.
I'm with you. Because I do not believe in Dak Prescott. I've been very critical on this show numerous times. And he has performed well at times this season. But I don't think Amari is 100%. Gallup's not 100%. Jason Witten can only do so much. So if this is not a Zeke 150-yard game, which I don't think Philadelphia is going to give up 150 yards rushing, give me Eagles by 2 TDs.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
I think they're going to make a statement that we're here.
I guess I'm the odd man out here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm not a big believer in either of these teams, to be honest. Like, I think Dallas was kind of a fluke with their early season success, playing bad teams. The Eagles are so inconsistent, it's kind of tough for me to go with them. But just like that last week with Kirk Cousins, what he did, I was like, if he can do that, it concerns me. Like, even with even with the, you know, the injuries at receiver for Dallas, I think if Kirk Cousins can do it to you, almost any QB in the league can do it to you. So it kind of worries me there. So I think I am going with Dallas. It's in Dallas, correct?
It is in Dallas.
So I think I got to go with Dallas there. I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be a toss-up come down, you know, to the end of the game. It may just be whoever has the ball last, but I will give the edge to Dallas since it's at home.
Yeah, Zeke's hungry. He said this week that, you know, he's not been impressed with himself as of late. He wants to have a big game, but that Eagles defense is right now ranked second in the NFL, only allowing 72 yards per game rushing. So
should I start him or sit him, man?
Who's Zeke?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know.
You could
flex him, but I don't
know. But do I want it?
Depends who else you have.
We'll talk, man. Before we cut to break, man, let's get into a little NBA news. As we all know, NBA is back next week. Cannot wait for it, especially us Atlanta fans. Oh, it's going to give us a distraction because this has been terrible. But number one overall pick, Zion Williamson, is out with a hurt knee for the first few weeks of this season. Apparently, there's like some soreness there, and they're really trying to be slow with him, obviously, because this preseason he has been shooting a little, what, under 80%? I mean, average, what, 25, 24, 26, 20? I mean, he has just been sensational, picking his spots well. Question for you guys before we hit break, man. Is this going to be an ongoing trend for Zion going into his career for the longevity of it? Is this going to be what his career is made of?
I really hope not. I hope it's not, because he's going to be such an exciting player in this league when he's healthy. But, you know, at his size, like, he's going to have to really, like, work on, you know, managing his weight and his body and stuff, because, like, he will be susceptible to this kind of stuff. And, like, it's not a good sign, but, of course, it's already happening early in his career while he's young. But, I hope it's not a trend. I hope he stays pretty durable. Because he did have that injury at Duke.
With the shoes.
But that was the shoes, and like not as much on him, I would say. Just body holding up as well. Because, like, you know, what can you do there?
Yeah.
But, I hope it's hope it's super minor. I haven't heard exactly what it is. I don't think they've really, like you said, it was something like soreness and stuff. Yeah,
they really haven't said what the issue is.
I think they're
but...
dodging around it, but just a few weeks means it's nothing like, you know, super serious.
Yeah.
So hopefully it is something just like soreness, and then he can bounce back and be back to his explosive self.
Can't wait to see him and Lonzo as well as B.I. just kind of
need every
that...
win they can get in that packed West out there.
They need to move out east, man. I mean, it's time.
Somebody does.
It's time.
Yeah, as far as Zion goes, if I'm the Pelicans management, I am giving him, you know, a couple of buffer weeks, you know, even after he feels good.
That's
I'm
real.
Saying, hey, man, take it easy. You number one overall pick. This is the future of the franchise. It's hard to have explosive jumps, you know, cut laterally, do everything you need to do, especially as a big man. You got a lot of weight on that knee. You got to make sure that it heals up 110%, or else, you know, there is the risk of it becoming his career trait, is, you know, re-aggravating different injuries. You know, got to keep the big man healthy, especially guys of his size. So,
hey, man, I'm loving it. But we have come to a time in the show where we got to go from brothers and friends to not enemies, but it's 1v1. I'm talking birthdays coming up. Cam.
I'm excited for this debut, man.
You know
I hear you all the time doing it. I'm like, man,
well,
I probably suck at it, but I'd love to play it.
It's time for you to show out, man. And you got the history guru himself you're going up against. And it's Justin Feist and Cam Black birthdays. We'll be back all with right, more overtime here at Fan Run Radio right after this. Y'all stay tuned.
Time to play the game.
Welcome back to Overtime, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the moment you have all been waiting for, we got birthdays on tap, man, and we're going to jump straight in. Hope you're ready. And with that being said, we have seven total. We have six birthdays and one this day in history. And let's jump right in. He is 32 years old today. He is an actor and singer who rose to fame via Disney. He won the Bravo Otto Award in 2010 for Best Male TV Star. Has starred in lead roles such as Hairspray, Baywatch.
Zac Efron.
Yes, sir. Oh, that man. Is correct.
Happy B-Day, Zach.
Oof. All right. Let me get my scoreboard here. All right. So we got 1-0 Justin to start this one off. Let's get to the second one while we're at it. That was awesome, by the way. I didn't want to give up the main hint of, obviously, High School Musical. So the second guy is going to be, he's actually a R&B songwriter, originally from Camden, Arkansas. He is the big 4-0 today. He won the Hal David Starlight Award from the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2012. His third album, Year of the Gentleman, was nominated for a 2009 Grammy Award. No, close. His debut album, In My Own Words, included the song So Sick, which became a number one hit on the U.S. Billboard 200.
Neo.
Wow. Yes, sir.
Man.
That is correct.
Bang, bang.
That is correct. Oh, man.
I was like, man, I know those songs.
We got a 2-0 sweep right now. Boy. We got a 2-0 sweep. Hey, you got to run off a couple more, man. Let's see here. We're going to the third one right here. He is from Vallejo, California. He is the big 44 today. He is a Mexican-American rapper, songwriter who is known for his club rocking singles. He has also carved out a successful career for himself writing lyrics for singers such as Frankie J.
No way it's Pitbull.
No, close. I will give you guys a big hint, so be ready to say the name. His 2000 song peaked at number 7 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, and it was titled Cyclone.
Oh. Flo Rida?
No.
Whoa. Oh,
who
man.
Who is that?
I know it. Oh, jeez. I could sing the whole song.
Got
right
10
now,
songs. Got 10 seconds, excuse me.
Oh, man.
Enrique Iglesias.
No. You guys are going to be so mad, man. He also had a song, like I said.
What's
again.
What's his initials?
BB.
That Five. Didn't help somehow.
Four. Three. All right, I'm calling it, man.
Yeah.
Baby Bash, man.
Oh.
Baby Bash. Bummer. Baby Bash, man. Happy birthday to.
I thought that was T-Pain.
Nah. You went in like a cyclone.
Yeah, I thought that was T-Pain.
I mean, he was featured in it. T-Pain was featured in it, but Baby Bash. Shawty got hips and shawty got.
That was one of the first songs, one of the first hip-hop songs I was ever introduced to.
Well, here you are.
Yep.
This is Baby Bash, man. Let's kick it off, man. Justin still with a 2-0 lead. All right. Now we have, this is an athlete. She is 29 years old, originally from Houston, Texas. One of the most decorated college basketball women's players of all time. She is standing at 6 feet, 8 inches tall. Joined the WNBA's Phoenix Mercury in 2013. Yes, sir. That is correct.
All right. Comeback season.
Comeback season. All right. We are now officially 2-1 lead, Justin. Let's shift, man. I know that I think this is all for today, so we're going to go to tomorrow. While I'm looking for this, you guys got any good weekend plans?
I think I'm going to go see Joker tonight after the show.
Are you really?
It's good. It's a good movie if you haven't seen it already.
I need to go check that out. I might do that as well, man.
Check that out for sure.
All right, I got this one pulled up right now. We got a 2-1 lead with Justin. We have 3 left. All right, guys. He is a former boxer, turning 66 today, originally from Armory, Mississippi. He is a former boxer and boxing trainer, most famous as the father of the most dominant boxer of our lifetime.
Oof.
I'll say that again. He is a former boxer and boxer trainer for the most famous dominant boxer of our lifetime. He is 66 years old today.
Mr. Tyson?
No.
I'll say, who's his kid? I don't know.
His kid, if I say it, would be a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
Got 10 seconds. Nah. The most dominant boxer of our lifetime.
Yeah. Fudge.
Got 10 on it. 9.
Can we get initials? I don't think.
FM.
Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather Sr.
Yes, sir. That is correct. I could. I mean, that was.
I don't know why Floyd went over my head that entire time. I was thinking older for some reason.
Of our lifetime. That's what I was like.
I was like, he's emphasizing this.
I was trying to think of guys
still...
like our age for some reason.
Yeah, man. Happy birthday to a senior, man. Turning 66 today. Yeah. All right. Well, honestly, man, if Justin gets this one, you are officially eliminated, okay? All right, you got to turn it up. We're actually going to stay, believe it or not, in the boxing family, man. He is 56 years old today from Atmore, Alabama. He is a legendary boxer who became the Ring, WC, WBA, and IBF heavyweight champion after defeating Buster Douglas via knockout in the third round.
Muhammad Ali?
No.
Is this one Tyson?
No. Compiled 44 wins, 29 by way of knockout, and a 57-fight career. He earned the nickname The Real
Sugar Ray.
No. I will say his son also went to the University of Georgia.
Oh my gosh, I have it and it just blanked on me. I know where he played, his son plays and everything.
Son plays for the Panthers.
Yep. Slow running back. Why can't I think of his name right now?
I got 10 seconds. I will give you initials, EH.
Evander Holyfield.
Justin Feist, you got a win for the weekend, boss.
Yeah, man, my brain did not do me any favors there.
What a 4-1 victory, man. Justin Feist.
You play to win the game.
Yes, you do, baby. Hey, Cam, I wish it would have went better for you. I do. Because I saw your face on a couple of these, and I was like, he knows it. It's just not coming out, man. Yeah. I will say the last one that we did have for tonight was I'll give this up to both of you guys and see whether or not you guys know it. 1931, this person who was claimed as America's greatest inventor passed away. What is his name?
Thomas Edison.
You got to say first and last name, but I didn't say that. Yeah, so I mean, technically,
the game's over. It's all good.
Technically, you got that one. So I'm gonna give you.
Hey,
that
so we got Westchester on the line trying to contribute something real quick.
Well,
Westchester just needs a minute.
Westchester, I'm gonna give you a minute. I can give you more than that. What's going on, boss? Talk to me.
Hey, Malcolm, you're not a girl, so I guess I can ask this. How old are you?
I mean, you got to take me out to dinner first.
Well, you know,
I'm 25.
We can talk about
man.
That later. But
I'm 25, man.
All right, so I'm going to give you a pass on your clue then, because I'm 40, and let me ask you this question: who's the greatest boxer of my lifetime?
Mike Tyson.
Right. That's why I thought the answer to your trivia question was Don King.
Oh, I could totally see that. But for me, man, I'm 25. If you're under the age of 30, to me, Floyd is the guy.
I'm not going to argue that. I just didn't know. I was like, wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah.
Don't let that deep, silky voice fool you, man.
I'm not bad. I'm not wrong for saying Tyson's better than
him. No, sir. You're not at all. I could give you that 100%.
By the way, boo to you. All right, this is a whoever wants to answer it first. All y'all pay attention. Which member of your staff had a birthday today?
Oh, Weston.
Weston had a birthday?
No, wrong name. Oh, say it again.
Wait.
Wrong name. Say it again.
Who had a birthday today, man?
Right person, wrong name.
Oh, Filet-O-Fish?
There you go.
Yeah. My man rocked in with 5 Filet-O-Fish this morning. He was living on his birthday.
Oh, my gosh. I'm ashamed, man. Well, happy birthday. I'm so sorry about that. Hey, Westchester, before you get off the line, can we get a prediction for tomorrow, please?
150 to nothing.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Westchester. I appreciate you.
Have a good weekend.
You as well, man. He's a fool, man. But I completely understand. We're going to take one last commercial break. And when we come back, we got some good news with Justin. Of course, we're going to talk about a couple more things to send you guys out for a weekend. If you guys would like to hop on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline, feel free to give us a call. Just like our good friend Westchester has done, 865-546-8200. We'll be back with more Fan Run Radio Overtime. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Overtime, man. This last segment... Our producer is out of his... You were crazy, man. This last segment is going to be brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, man. 100 calories. Just got to have it, man. Got to have it. And we got to have some good news, Justin, man. You got some good news for me, Big Dog?
Do I ever. A little tie-in to the NFL right here.
All right.
So, New Orleans Saints linebacker Demario Davis... has raised $120,000 for a local Mississippi hospital through the sale of the headband that earned him a fine from the NFL back in September. Davis recently made headlines after he was fined by the NFL for wearing a headband that read "Man of God" during a September 22nd game against the Seahawks. It wasn't because it said "Man of God." It just, you know, it was a violation. It wasn't, you know, team issued, so he got the fine. Before appealing the $7,000 fine for a uniform infraction, the linebacker hoped to turn the situation into a positive and decided to start selling the headbands, pledging 100% of the Man of God and Woman of God proceeds to St. Dominic Hospital in Jackson, Mississippi. The league eventually relented and repealed the fine. The black and gold headbands, priced at $25 apiece, have raised more than $60,000, with an equal matching grant given to the hospital, bringing the donations to $120,000 to date of the occurrence. Davis said, "This is amazing. It just shows you the power of God. You know, I would have never thought this whole movement would have happened, and it's not just here in New Orleans. It's been national."
That is so...
Raising money for hospitals after pivoting kind of a crappy situation and getting a fine for it.
That is so dope, man. You know, we, as Atlanta Falcons fans, can't stand the Saints, but anytime something like that happens, man, I show my hat to it. I love to see it.
Yeah, tip my hat to that for sure. That's big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Huge, man. Turning a negative into a positive and helping people out along the process. I love to see it, man. This has been an awesome week here at Fan Run Radio. I know, like I said, we are going to actually tomorrow be at, excuse me, I'm looking for this right now.
Elkmont Exchange.
Yeah, sorry. We're going to be at Elkmont Exchange located at 745 North Broadway. Again, they got the great food, cold iced beer, as well as some really, really good drinks. Come stop by and see us, man. Alabama UT, hopefully Westchester's prediction of 125 to 0 does not come into fruition. But if it does, be sure to check out Voluntary Reactions right after that, because it's going to be an awesome one, man. And I'm definitely excited. For me, I know that I saw just a crazy article I like to talk about, one probably every Friday if we have additional time. Apparently, some Sallie Mae representatives and executives took a trip to Maui, and that didn't go over so well on Twitter today. So,
Sallie Mae student loan organization.
Yeah, okay. They took a all paid and inclusive trip. I know people got to enjoy themselves too, but man, it's $1.6 trillion in debt and climbing, and they're out in Maui. enjoying themselves, living lavish like they're playing for the Dallas Mavericks. So
if they got it like that, hey, pay off some of that debt, please.
Hit my line.
Yep.
Can give you my Cash App, my Venmo, my PayPal. Just
Apple Pay. What do you need, man? Western
I'll
Union.
I'll come pick it up.
I'm telling you what, man. Hey, also, I know we talked about it before, but we really didn't get into it. Who are you looking forward to seeing traded, or what does a team in the NFL specifically need? We can start. I know that I'm not looking forward to this guy being traded, but Mohamed Sanu, I think, is going to be a Green Bay Packer in a week or less. And I think that he's going to walk in and instantly become a wide receiver one. Do you guys have any other things that you think can happen?
I think the Dolphins will still try and shop a few people if they can. I think Kenyon Drake's been on the trading block. They'd love to get some more assets going into the offseason, of course. So I think they're definitely – I think anybody on their team is probably fair game. If you wanted them, they'd probably field an offer.
I like
I think people keep mentioning A.J. Green and the Bengals. The Bengals try and say no, but I wouldn't be surprised with his injury problems.
Drafting him in our league, so hopefully he does come through, man. But somebody else is trying to come through. We have somebody on the next door home group hotline, though.
Yeah, we got Raj. What's going on, Roger?
Raj, what's up, man?
How you doing tonight?
Doing great, man. Doing great. How are you?
Oh, doing fine. Doing good. Wanted to talk to you real quick. I don't have a lot of time, so I just wanted to ask you, man. I'm coming, you know, y'all. The game one. I just wanted to ask you is, I guess, I don't ask you about last night, but I want to ask you, Malcolm, how you think Tennessee can, I know Tennessee I know a lot of different, everything, but you think Tennessee can compete for a while? I want to ask you, you think Tennessee can compete to one up for a while, you think?
Thank you, Raj, man, for the call, man. I appreciate it, and let me just be completely honest, man. I'm sorry. This Alabama offense is different. You know, when you look at the four receivers as well as the backfield that they have, as well as the guy that's really the engineer behind this offense, I don't. But knowing Jeremy Pruitt and knowing the mentality that he has, I think they're going to be ready to play tomorrow. And they'll be able to compete for about a quarter. But after that, depth is going to start to show itself. It's going to get ugly before it gets better. But hopefully in a year or two, we'll be having a different conversation. Anybody else have anything?
Not really, man.
Yeah, you pretty much covered it. Unless we get Tennessee gets lucky with some turnovers and just clock management, yeah, it could get ugly pretty quickly.
Oh, man. Well, it has been a great, great week here at Fan Run Radio at the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Justin Feist, you have been amazing, man, and I appreciate all you do. But most importantly, man, Cam Black, thank you so much for coming in and filling in the spot. Held it down.
Carry me through the show, y'all.
Hey, man, you had it live like it's 1995, man. My name is Malcolm Harris. We appreciate you so much for tuning in. We'll see you Monday with Tanner Carson Bright at 6 p.m. Thanks so much.